This month's series has been the Sermon on the Mount. How many here enjoy the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in the early chapters of Matthew? The Sermon on the Mount, and tonight's message is judging others, or better yet, not judging others. Again, the series has been the Sermon on the Mount, and tonight's message is not judging others. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here tonight. How many here have ever been in a relationship with someone, maybe a friend, a relative, a parent, or a work associate that did or said something on a continual basis that really got down underneath your skin? Somebody in your life, somebody you're in relationship with that has said or done something that got underneath your skin. And maybe it was a parent that promised to visit you, and they promised you repeatedly, and they haven't done so. And so now you critique that parent as dishonest. All right, or maybe it's someone here more than once who has borrowed money from you and has not paid it back. So now you judge that person as a thief and you continue to do so in your mind. And I've got a business. We work on people's homes here in Tulsa. And I've hired people in the past. And one instance comes to mind where this individual was working with me pretty consistently, but pretty often he came up with an excuse as to why he couldn't work that day. Maybe he didn't sleep enough, or maybe he had another commitment that popped up, something else that popped up, and so I dubbed him in my mind as irresponsible. And we all tend to do that sometimes. Anybody ever been there? Where somebody does or says something repeatedly that really gets under your skin, and so in your mind you critique that person negatively. And, you know, just recently with my wife, she was a few nights ago here, just a personal example from my life. She was listening to some Christian music in the car on the radio. And I was like, man, why are you listening to this? Country music. She was listening to country music with a good Christian message. And I was like, man, why are you listening to this country music? You ought to be listening only to Christian music. She said, well, Jonathan, it's got a pretty good Christian message to it. And so we kind of got into a little bit of a heated debate. And she said, Jonathan, you know what? She said, I feel like you're judging me. And I just thought, I was just convicted in my heart because I said, you know what, Brandy? I said, here in a few nights, I'm going to be talking about not judging others. So we've all been there with somebody, right? Maybe our spouse, a friend, or a relative. Okay. You know, you can critique somebody negatively in your mind without actually speaking the physical words of judgment. You can critique somebody in your mind without actually speaking those physical words of critique and judgment. Well, when you speak those words of judgment, the physical words, the person you're critiquing now knows that you're standing in judgment over them. And that feeling is not good. And we tend to look at people's actions from the outside, but we don't know the inner turmoil they're going through on the inside. In their minds, in their hearts, the depression they're experiencing. Is that right? A lot of times we tend to look at a person's actions on the outside. Things that they do, things that they say, and we tend to negatively critique them, judge them. But we don't know deep down on the inside what's going on in that person's heart and mind. We don't know the turmoil that's there. We don't know the depression they might be going through. We don't know the loss that they might have experienced. And you know, friend, when we judge a person's actions in pride, we're putting ourselves above them. Let me say it again. When we critique negatively a person and we judge them, we are putting ourselves above them in pride. And a lot of people do that. They try to play the part of God. But there's only one being on the face of this universe who can judge another. And who's that? It's God, Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth. And why is that? Because only God knows what the person is going through on the inside. Only that person and God realize what's going on deep down on the inside. We just see the facade. We see the outside. But only God really knows what's going on the inside. Is that making sense here tonight? All right, so let's try not to play God in other people's lives. And you know, a lot of times, Paul writes about this too in Romans chapter 2, and this is what he says. You got to keep this in mind as well. A lot of times when we stand in judgment of somebody else and we negatively critique them, the thing that we're critiquing them on could be the very thing that we're dealing with ourselves. So whenever you come up to a situation with somebody and you're ready to critique that person, think to yourself, have I done this in the past? Am I doing this right now? Because sometimes what we critique other people on are the very things that we're dealing with. Is that making sense? And Paul the Apostle writes in Romans 2, verse 1, he says this, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." So next time, before we're too quick to step out and judge somebody else, think, have I done this before? Am I doing this right now? It'll put the brakes on, right? Let's see what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And that's tonight's text. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says this. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Verse 6, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." So in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, verses 1 through 2, what is Jesus saying? In modern day American language, what's he saying to us? He's saying what goes around comes around. When we stand in judgment of somebody else, guess what? In the future, somebody else may stand in judgment of us. All right, so if some of you are married here and your wife is being really critical of you and nitpicking at you, or maybe somebody else, a friend or a brother or a mother, they're nitpicking at you and it seems like they're judging you, you got to think to yourself, am I doing this to somebody else? Because what goes around comes around. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Is that making sense? And if we judge others, if we try to stand in the place of God and play God in another person's life, guess what? Ultimately, God will judge us. Romans 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10, Paul writes concerning this subject. He says, let me turn there real quick. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. He says in Romans 14, 10, "You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." So if you find somebody, you know, nitpicking at you, judging you, you're going to be asking yourself, am I doing this to somebody else? All right? Ultimately, God will judge our every thought and action. So let us not judge our brothers and sisters. Is that good news here tonight? All right. Then Jesus said we need to analyze ourselves concerning judging and negatively critiquing others. In verses 3 through 5 of Matthew chapter 7, he says this, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." You know, we tend to analyze people sometimes. We tend to critique them sometimes. And we look at the speck of dust in their eye, while all along we've got a plank in our own eyes. We've got to look at ourselves, friends. And what Jesus is saying is what? He's saying instead of judging others, instead of negatively critiquing others, we need to look at ourselves and critique ourselves. Is that making sense? And get out of our lives the things that should not be there. We don't need to be standing in the place of God or playing God in somebody else's life and judging them. Only God can do that. We need to be looking at ourselves and praying, "God, I pray that you show me the areas in my life that need to turn around in Jesus' name." And we need to critique and judge our own selves. Is that making sense? That's what Jesus is talking about. And he says, "Take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And you know, I don't think anybody's going to fully be able to take the plank out of their own eye or the dust out of their own eye, right? Because nobody's perfect. And I think what Jesus is trying to say is this, is because we'll always have some type of speck in our eyes or maybe some type of plank in our eyes, that means that we should never stand in judgment of somebody else. Is that making sense here tonight? All right, so let's analyze ourselves. And here's the good news here tonight. Say it with me. I am not to stand in judgment of somebody else who could be irritating in my life. All right, and here's the good news here tonight. Instead of judging others hatefully, negatively, we need to be loving others. That's good news, isn't it? Let's see what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. A lawyer comes to Jesus, Matthew 22, verse 35. An expert in the law tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So instead of judging others, being hateful towards others, towards things they've said or done towards us, we're to do what? We're to love them with the love of Almighty God. And the love of spoken of here in the original language is agape love. Agape love is the God kind of love. Say agape love. The God kind of love. That's the love that is spoken of here. And what is agape love? I don't know if anybody here has ever studied it, but this is what agape love is. Agape love is selfless love. It's a no strings attached love. It's loving another person by choice. Listen to this. It's loving another person by your own choice, even when that person is unlovable. Interesting, right? Thinking the best of somebody else, even when that person is irritating you. That's the agape kind of love. It's a self-denying, it's a self-sacrificing love. It chooses to love the person who is unlovable. So think about that person in your life for the next few seconds, the next minute. That person in your life that is really difficult to deal with. You're in relation with them somehow, and they irritate you. They've made promises. They've broken those promises. They always seem to be in need, and so you think in your mind, man, that person's lazy, and you're judging them. Instead of doing that, start loving that person. Start thinking about the best about that person and start speaking encouraging words into that person's life. And this agape kind of love is how God loved us and how God loves us. In John 3:16, what the shelter is named after: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We all agree that God loves the unlovable, right? Is that making sense? All right. And it's proven in Romans 5, verse 8. "But while we were yet sinners," God commends his love toward us. God demonstrates his love toward you and me in that while we were yet sinners in sin, who died for us? Jesus Christ died for you and for me. Is that good news? That's a great scripture, isn't it? God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in sin, Jesus Christ died for us. He was dying for a sinful world, for the unlovable, for you and for me. And this is the heart of God. You know, we see it in the prodigal son. How many here know about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Luke chapter 15. It's powerful, isn't it? Look at this real quick. Let me see if I can read this with the time we have left. Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father, and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This father represents whom? In Luke chapter 15, he represents Father God. He represents the heart of God. Now, if this father was full of judgment and critique, what would he have said to his son? What would he have said? He would have said, "Son, I want nothing to do with you. Get out of my life. You stole what I wanted to leave to you after I died. Just have nothing to do with me." But this father did not react in that way. Instead, he reacted with what? He reacted with agape love. The son who basically slapped him in the face and said to him, "Dad, I wish you were dead," was the same father who said, "Son, I still love you." And that's the way God loves you and me. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, there is no sin in your life that God cannot forgive. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It can be under the blood of Jesus if you confess it and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Let me say it again. Don't let the devil lie to you and put a guilt trip on you and condemn you and say, "You know what? God is angry with you." Because I'm here to tell you tonight that God is not angry with you. God has forgiven your past in the name of Jesus. Is that good news? It's under the blood of Christ when we confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will clean us from all unrighteousness. That's good news, right? There is no sin in your life that God is not able to not forgive. All right? God forgives all sins. In Jesus' name. And you know, it's tough to do sometimes, friends. It is tough to do sometimes. To love others like God loves them. To love them with that agape love. But when it gets tough and that person's irritating in your life and you don't know anymore what to do with that person in your life, just say, "God, I cannot do this on my own. God, I am too weak in myself. God, it is tough to love this person and not judge him and not judge her." And I tell you, man, if you cry out to God in prayer, God will answer your prayer. He will give you his divine empowerment to be able to forgive the person who is getting underneath your skin. Is that good news? It's with God's strength that we can do it. Somebody once said, a great minister once said, it seems that God does nothing except somebody pray. So when it gets hard and you just want to judge that person, you want to negatively critique them, you want to judge them to their face, say, "God, help me love them with your kind of love instead." And God will help you. He'll give you his strength. Is that making sense tonight?